With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to Back to the Frame Rate. Here we are with myself, Nathan Schur, and Ellie Escobar. We are doing a bonus episode. And
Just for me.
And for you, Ellie. We are here going to do some of our movie musings and some of our 2024 New Year's resolutions. It is 2024. It's one of our first episodes of the year. And, you know, typically, you know, I don't always do New Year's resolutions. Ellie, do you do New Year's resolutions for yourself, for your life?
So I think I used to a few years back, but I sort of stopped doing that because I never keep up with them. So I just like, nope, I'd rather not do them because then I actually, things happen. But yeah, it depends on the year, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of find New Year's resolutions don't really work for me because it's like, I feel like, well, this is what I'm going to start doing now. Well, why don't I do that before? You know, I feel like if, you know, it's like an arbitrary date, a date in time where I start doing things. Well, if my intention really was to change my life to do this, then why do I need a flip the calendar to do it? Yeah. If my intention is really to change something or fix something in my life, you know, I don't need to wait until the new year to do it.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like
the same way. Like, you know, it just, when I have friends that say my New Year's resolution is to lose 30 pounds. Come the end of the year, they haven't lost any pounds. So what happened to you? Yeah. So.
Yeah. I feel like it also puts pressure on yourself as well. Like, oh, I did not keep up with this resolution that I made at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
If you're gonna make the intention to do something, then by making a resolution, it's I don't know, it's not the kind of accountability that I like somehow. It never really worked for me. However, we're not here tonight to make those types of New Year's resolutions. We're here to do some movie resolutions. Mm-hmm. And that might be a little confusing to people what that really means. You know, I have a habit of probably watching way too many movies.
You?
I do.
I think I'm the queen of watching too many movies.
Did you log your movie watching last year? Or do you keep track of movies that you watch?
I don't have time. I actually signed up to, what is that place? Letterboxd?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I signed up for it. I didn't keep up with it. I thought, oh, I'm going to use Letterboxd. I never knew about it. And then I didn't keep up with it. So I don't keep track. I should keep track of my films, actually. But I don't. I just, by sheer memory, I remember what I seen. And
see, that's amazing because, like, I have a feeling you watched probably as much or more than I watched last year, but I would lose track because how would I know if I liked a movie? I watched 232 movies last year. What? I would not have remembered all of them if I didn't log them. I mean, if I came across the title, like, oh yeah, I saw that. But unless I had seen the title, I would not have remembered. So I need that log. I need that list to remember, to jog my memory.
You know, I think I'm going to start. That's my New Year resolution. I'm going to start logging in. I'm going to start logging in my films starting January, starting this year. I'm going to do that because I think an estimate, probably a good 300, maybe a little more that. Plus adding the television limited series that I watch. I watch a lot of series, TV series, plus movies, plus going to the theater. And I keep that theater open. I'm telling you. I do. I'm the one.
And you don't have to use Letterboxd, Ellie. I mean, you know how I started doing it? I started doing it on just a notepad. I just had a notepad that I kept by my TV. I watched something. I just, you know, I write it on.
I like that.
On this.
Yeah.
And that's how I started for years. And then I created like an Excel spreadsheet, and then it became a Google document. And then I started doing Letterboxd. And I still do have a Google Drive document that I keep as well. Because if Letterboxd ever goes away, which you never know what could happen, I still have my document, my Excel spreadsheet that goes back to the year 2000.
What? You are a dedicated man.
Yeah, I started this in the year. Sylvia. Well, I want to just talk
about from Nathan. Love your movies.
I do. And it's gotten much more elaborate over the years. It used to be I just logged the movie and I gave a rating from 1 to 10. Oh, no.
Don't tell me.
Go ahead. Okay. And then it became but that was all it was. Like the name of the movie and a rating from 1 to 10. Then it became like I have to put the year in there because sometimes, you know, I look at a movie like, well, which version of the movie is this? The one that came out in 1991 or the one in 1961? And I got confused. And then I put the name of the director in it. Then I started creating categories. Like I would rate it on like acting and then directing and then editing and the music and cinematography. And then I would add those up and I would have a score. And then that would be, I divide that by the number of categories that I created for, and then that would be my score for the movie from 1 to 10.
What do they call those people? OCD film collectors, like
OCD, like something. I know there's a. I have a problem.
Yeah, no, that's. I think it's great though that because, you know, if you ever want to work, I give you credit for that. That's so organized. That's like pure commitment.
Oh, that's committed. And it's gone on for now 23 years.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, Nathan. I have to see that list.
You know
what would be great? If you share that list and then we could just pick films from that list and be like, oh, I've never seen this film because you've seen it. And then, you know, it's kind of like a shelf where you have. It's kind of like, you know, if we had all these DVDs on a bookshelf. Like a gigantic bookshelf, and you had all these DVDs, and we could just whatever we felt like watching that day, and I would just go and pick it up from that particular shelf. It'd be like that. Your log. Yeah. So.
I occasionally do go back and look at my movie log from, you know, what I like to do actually, Ellie, is go to my movie log and see, like, what did I watch on this day 10 years ago or 20 years ago now? And then I see the title, like, oh, I was living at this house.
Yeah, but I think that's really cool. That's really cool.
Then it starts triggering memories because, like, I watched it with this friend or I watched it here. And then I remember this is what's going on. That's what was going on in my life at the time. So, really, what it is not just a movie list, it's kind of a journal of my life.
That's what I was just going to say. Sounds like some people journal their life into, you know, one of them in a journaling, right? But you're doing it via movies that you've watched, which is kind of like this. Yeah, it's journaling.
It really is because it's 23 years of the history of the movies that my taste in movies has changed so much in 23 years. I was I'd say I've diversified a lot more in the types of movies that I watched. I'm into much more different types of movies. So it's
imagine if you wrote a book called Journaling My Life Through Movies. Wow.
Well, now it'd be a coffee table book if I took all the movies I watched. I feel like there is a reason why I've done this in my life. I have a 23-year history log of all the movies that I've watched, and I've been rarely have missed a title in that. I bet there's a few that I've missed, but there's a purpose for this, and I'm not too sure what it is yet. And I don't know if I'll just do it until my last breath. You know, it will be interesting. And what does it all mean? And, you know, later on in life, my children, my grandchildren, they see this list and like, what are they going to take away from it? It'll be interesting. I don't know.
I think it's a good legacy to have. You know, I never even thought about that. But you know who else does that a lot, though? Like you? Carlos. Yeah. My son. He does that. He logs his movies. And he started logging them in his iPhone under Notes.
Yeah.
And rating them too. And I think eventually he went on to Letterboxd too. That's where he logs them now. So yeah. I just don't get Letterboxd. I get confused with Letterboxd.
It's more of like it's supposed to be a social environment. So you can like follow other people's reviews and what they like. And I'm starting to use it more for that, not just a place to log movies, but to follow other people so that you can see what they're into and get recommendations. I'm getting much more out of it than I used to when I first started it.
So. I'm not going to lie though. I have like 51 films on my notes from recommendations. Oddly enough, from TikTok. Wow. Isn't that weird? Yeah, TikTok. A lot of the movies that I've come across, little trailers, is people, have you seen this movie yet? Have you? And these are movies from like now to like 19-something, you know? And I'm like, I never seen that movie. And now I get interest and I put it down on my list. I legit have about 51 films on my list that I want to watch. Hey!
Oh, Sam! Sam just joined us. Sam, we are in the middle of our bonus episode talking about how we log movies. I was talking about how my list, I have a log that goes back 23 years. Sam Cole has just joined us, everyone.
I'm crashing the podcast from a drive-thru. I might have to go in a second, but I wanted to say, have you logged movies? I sort of keep track of them, but I keep it all up here in my mind. But I remember dates and numbers like Rain Man without writing anything down. That's how it works for me sometimes.
Yeah. Wow.
That's me too.
I was asking, you know, how when we compiled our best of, you know, 2023 list, how did you know what were your favorite movies of last year? It just was from memory, huh?
Oh, the 2023? No, for that I had a list. Yeah, I needed to, like, write it down. But if I'm, like, remembering a film, if I like a movie, it'll just, like, go into, like, a data bank in my head and I'll just remember it. But I'm also a fan of lists and writing lists, so it's, like, half and half in reality.
Yeah, as people probably listening to this, and of course my fellow podcast hosts know, I am like the Google Doc Gestapo, and I have document after document of data of things that I watched. Yes, it goes so far beyond what you have even seen. You'd be scared to see my personal Google Drive.
It's very scary place. And it's good for like archival purposes. Like after the apocalypse, when society is rediscovered, people will get more information off your notes on this podcast than like the rest of true. America combined.
You're not lying, Sam. Like definitely, he's like the library of all movies here.
Exactly. This is a living Library of Congress right here.
Seriously. Right.
So, Sam, we were actually just about to get to our movie resolutions.
Nice.
Things that we are. And would you like to participate in this while you're in your drive-thru?
Honored to
participate. Are you getting your chicken nuggets now? What are you doing?
I am getting my chicken nuggets. I'm having a very unhealthy night, and I hope none of my friends listen to this particular bonus episode because they'll just give me a lot of hell. The two of them that exist out there these days, that is.
Sometimes two are better than a lot.
That's true. Yeah, it's always hope.
Well, tell us one of your New Year's movie resolutions.
My New Year's movie resolution, the main one for me at the moment, and this is actually a very realistic, achievable goal. I tried to do something that's like within reason, because I'm not. It's not like I want to suddenly become an astronaut. That's not going to happen, you know. But my goal is to consistently write more on my projects. Always. I'm trying to do more acting and editing, and I do a lot of movies, but I have a lot of ideas and they spin around in my head, and I'm guilty of procrastinating on writing or not writing down the ideas at all or not getting to my script immediately. And I am a decent writer, and when I get into the zone, I can write a lot. So main resolution is just to write more and be more consistent about it this year. And I've already tried to start, so it's like achievable.
There you go. That's awesome.
That's great. That's great. Ellie, do you have one that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, so for me as an actor, I want to, it's probably a hard goal or resolution, but I like to get representation from California this year. And I'm submitting to different agencies to see if I could be represented. I already have representation here in New England, but I like to expand more and start really booking more, you know, credits, real credits on TV. That's my main goal. And I am basically studying every day with different coaches to prepare to get to that point. But I also want to make sure that I'm also writing, not the way you guys write, because you guys are like totally filmmakers already. But I'm one of my resolutions is to try to film that script I wrote last year that I haven't yet done. It's written. It's there. I just need to get the courage to film it.
Yeah.
But that's it.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'll mention one of mine, and it's not very similar to what both of you are saying, and that is I want to just basically get back into the world of creating my own film projects. It's been a long time, and even on a small scale. I mean, I have been very lucky. I've been blessed to have been able to create a couple feature films, but it's been a long time since I've produced something, and I'm really feeling the itch. I had a failed project last summer that just didn't happen. And a lot of it was, I blame myself, it was my own hubris. And I kind of kicked myself for letting a couple things get out of hand that just didn't allow me to get it done. But I've also had some issues happen with family and unforeseen things that I didn't expect this fall that I couldn't have done anything either. But I feel like a lot of that we have gotten past, and I'm optimistic that in 2024, I will have the opportunity to get back in the horse and get something produced. So that is definitely something. It's just in some capacity, and I don't want to like jump into the deep end. It's been quite some time, and I kind of worry that it's been so long since I've done something on a grand scale. Like, am I out of practice? Do I know how to even do it anymore? I think about this a lot.
Like
it does. Cause you know, I am now getting, you know, with Facebook, you know how it sends you like memories, you know, I am getting sent that now. Cause it was now 7 years ago that I produced my first feature film, Higher Methods. And now every single day I'm getting sent those memories of all the things. Cause I took pictures and videos posted onto Facebook every single day. And I feel like now it's mocking me. Oh, 7 years ago, I was on set doing this. And at that time, I feel like this was like the start of my career as a filmmaker, director, producer, doing great things. And that was 7 years ago. And what have I done since? Now, I have done things since, but no, it hasn't necessarily gone the way I thought it would since I made that movie. There's been other roadblocks. The post-production on it didn't go the way I thought it would. It didn't get the distribution that I thought it would. So, Yeah, maybe I was a little delusional about the whole thing, but so every single day I'm getting these memories now of these wonderful moments I had on set, and I feel like it's kind of like Facebook mocking me, like, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like the universe is telling you, like, come on, it's time, come on,
exactly.
Like,
exactly.
You know what they say? I heard a quote saying, do not die with the song inside of you, right? Have you heard that quote? I'm probably butchering the quote, but it talks about
Sam.
Don't die with your music inside of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
sorry, Sam. I did mute you because you were ordering your chicken nuggets. You can unmute yourself.
Yeah, it's looking you.
You need to unmute yourself, Sam.
Sam, we can't hear you. Is she ordering? I think he's still out of range.
Did I mute myself? That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No, I was just saying that I'm going to drop out for a second because I have to like disembark and take my food into the house. But I will say, no, Facebook definitely does. I feel that mocking thing when I had a great experience making this huge short just about 7 years back. And like every day Facebook is like, here's Sam on location and this and that. And he's flying a drone and he's in the desert and it's amazing. And I'm like, you bastard, stop rubbing it in. I know. I'll simply say that for me, writing is not a means to an end. Like my goal is not just to write more for the sake of writing. It's just because in writing down and like fleshing out my ideas, it gets me one step closer to production, which is where I want to be making movies. So like similar boat, Nathan, I definitely relate. I'm going to drop out if I don't make it back on time. Cheers. But if I do, I'll let you guys know. I just have to get out of this vehicle and bring this stuff down the stairs. But here's to resolutions in the future. Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye, Sam. Cheers. Cheers.
Ellie, do you have any other resolutions for 2024? Film in the film world. Watching, creating. It could be anything.
You know, I'm just looking forward to the new films and just keep dissecting what I like. And just, I guess for me, it's learning through films. It's how I, probably why I watch so many films, because I like learning through films. And so I just want to keep enhancing my acting skills. And so one of my goals this year coming up is just, you know, I'm a level, it's to get to the next level, I guess, in my acting career. Mm-hmm. And just my film career, it's just, you know, when you get to that point where you're like, it's like you just said, you know, it's been 7 years and you haven't done a film, right? So for me, I've been busy auditioning consistently thanks to my agent, but I'm itching to get to my next level so I can do the films that I want to do, you know, that I love to be part of or get hired to do. So, and you have to be a little delusional to think, I'm going to get there, because that's how it works. You can't be an artist and not be delusional. You have to be delusional. Yeah. That's how you make art. Right. So
I totally hear you. Yeah. I have like one or two, I think I need to mention or so. So
bring it.
I know, we have this podcast here, Back to the Frame Rate, and this has been something that I've wanted to host, be part of a podcast that talks about film and film criticism and critiquing movies for quite some time. It's been gestating for years. And one of my, I'll be honest, you know, I like to be transparent about this. I have a lot of anxiety and I feel like, you know, sometimes I don't speak very well about, you know, film, and I feel like I can do better at it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you, I watch film a lot to study it, but, you know, I want to also, in order to speak about it more intelligently, I want to experience it, not just by watching it, but I want to read more about film. And I think I can, I want to read more books about filmmaking, the history of film. This is one of my resolutions, is to experience the history of it and the art of filmmaking through books. You know, also through documentaries as well about the history of film, And this is something that I think will make me a more well-rounded person, able to speak about film more intelligently. Right now, I feel like I come at it very much from one point of view. And I think that I can do a better job by becoming a more well-rounded person, being able to speak about film by submerging myself more into the history by reading more about it, reading more articles about it. So this is something I want to do because I don't want this podcast. I want this podcast to be something that I feel more confident when I talk about, you know, film on. So that's one of the things I want to do as a resolution.
Not that you already, you already sound very confident about when you speak about your films though. Like I watch you and I'm like, I only wish I could speak like that about films too, but I sometimes don't, you know, like, so, but I totally hear you, what you're saying. And I think definitely, I truly believe that the more you educate yourself about what you do, the better you become at. And yeah, for sure. That's a great.
And I also think, I think it would help me as a filmmaker as well to learn more about the craft as well. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I have one more, unless you have something, another one you want to mention.
So,
you know what, something I used to do more of back in the day, but I don't do as much now because I've just gotten really busy with life.
Yeah.
I want to attend more local film festivals. I used to do this so much more and support my fellow filmmakers and actors and see what my contemporaries are creating. I did this a lot more and it inspired me to create more as well. And perhaps if I network with these filmmakers more, maybe they could even be a guest in the show sometime. You know, this was something that I did this a lot more back about 10, 12 years ago. I was going to festivals all the time. It was back when I felt like I was building up myself as a filmmaker. But now that I've kind of.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Schedule your showroom consultation and see more from brands like Monogram at build.com/Ferguson.
At a point where I was doing my own films, I've gone away from it and I feel really bad about it.
That is so funny that you say that. Now that you mentioned that, Nathan, I feel like when I first started, and I'm, you know, fairly new to acting, like, you know, at the end of 2016, I used to go to festivals a lot and a lot of events.
Yeah.
But then 2020 happened and it all kind of like took a back burner for me. Like I stopped going too. Like I totally hear you on that, on going to festivals and just, because you can learn and you can network with so many different people. Which, by the way, wouldn't it be, I think it would be a great resolution to maybe, I don't know what you think about, but just to feature New England filmmakers every once in a while and their films as well. You know, talk about
absolutely. I've been thinking about this for a while, is on our show, find a way of bringing in guest filmmakers, local filmmakers. You know, they even have to be local, but like bring in some people that, you know, are filmmakers that we could talk about their film. The thing is though, if they're like, are we critiquing their movie or not? We tend to sometimes be honest about it. And it is tough on somebody, you know, we are not just a show. Are we a show that is reviewing movies? Or are we a show that are here to network and support filmmakers? I mean, sometimes I feel like it's two different things. I've thought about this a lot, you know, But I am excited about it. But
yeah, I mean, it's something to think about. Yeah, for sure.
Totally something to think about. But yeah. I love the idea still of networking with filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And but if they come on, they could also share, you know, what movies inspire them. Mm-hmm. And maybe they could recommend movies for us to watch. You know, I don't know. There's a lot. There's something there for sure.
There's something there for sure that we could add to this new year coming up, you know, that we haven't touched yet on. So that'd be great.
Good. These are some great movie resolutions for 2024. I have a few more, but you know, they're pretty standard stuff. One was just to diversify my movie watching a lot, you know, discover a lot more in the world of documentary, classic, foreign, cult, independent films. Everyone says this, you know, you know, but yeah, but totally. You know, it is a real thing. Cause I feel like I looked at my, cause of course I have a log. I only watched like 3 documentaries last year and I'm kind of ashamed of that.
Yeah. Ashamed. I am huge documentary person. I love documentaries.
I usually watch at least a dozen to 20 documentaries a year. And for whatever reason, like I just didn't. And I don't know why.
It's funny. That's definitely a resolution for this coming
and
year.
And I wanted to fix it. One of the first movies I watched in 2024 was a documentary that I missed last year called The Eternal Memory, which was really good as well. So it's about a couple. One of them is suffering from Alzheimer's, which was a very difficult watch.
Wait, is that a documentary or a movie? Is that with?
It's a documentary.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a movie coming up with Chastain, Jessica. Is it Jennifer Jessica?
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah. Is that the same one? No, right?
I don't know about that one.
But that movie is also about the Alzheimer's situation.
Maybe. Mm. I don't know what the name of it offhand. Why don't we talk about some of the things I kind of transitioned already. Yeah. Do you want to tell me a couple of the things that you may have watched in the past week or so?
Oh, man. The show is? Talk about logging in your stuff. I'm going to start logging my stuff, okay? This is
how I know what to talk about.
No, this is a huge resolution for me now. Yeah, you've done it. You did it. So for me, the past week, I've watched Silo, a TV series. I watched Silo on Apple TV. Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. What is it?
So Silo, it's about this, basically this, about 10,000 people that are in a chamber, something happened to our world and you can't go outside because it's poisonous. And they built this underground, what do you call those?
Like a bunker?
Bunker, yeah.
Fall shelter? This sounds like something that we might be talking about soon on our show as a theme.
Really?
But go ahead.
Oh my goodness. Okay, dude, I started watching it yesterday. Yeah. I've been watched 10 episodes. I sat the whole day and just watched Silo the whole night, the whole day. And I loved it. And although I didn't, it's at the episode 10, I was like, what? It's just going to leave me like that. But then I realized it's going to be a second season. So woohoo. So I'm excited. There are no, Tim Robbins is in that film.
I love Tim Robbins.
Yeah, me too. I love Tim Robbins. But I'm going to say the acting, it's okay. The main character is not introduced until like the second episode. And she's badass. And I love her. And she's from England, this girl.
I'm looking at the cast. Is this Rebecca Ferguson?
Yes. I think she was in Mission Impossible. And she was like,
yep.
Yeah, I said, oh my god, she's so great in this series, and she does carry the whole series. I'm sorry, but she, something about her character and just the whole acting for her. I want more of her, so I can't. I look forward to the next season. But I also started watching True Detectives, the new one, number 4.
Oh, did that already come out?
Came out yesterday. Yeah, first episode was yesterday.
This is season four.
Yeah, it's really weird. I can't pinpoint which way they're gonna go. It's just a lot of CGI, some CGIs. It's really weird. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know if it's a monster I don't know what they're looking for this time, but I'm sure it's never going to top True Detective number one.
Mm-hmm. I've only seen the first season of True Detective, which was a gobstopping experience for me. And I never watched the season two because I heard so many horrible things about it. But I probably don't need to see the in-between seasons to jump to the fourth one.
No, you don't, because they're different. They're all like kind of different stories. So definitely,
I might just jump to this season four.
Yeah,
because I'll never catch up on all this.
Well, Jodie Foster's in this one, and I love Jodie. She's one of my favorite actresses, so she's in there. I am currently watching Fool Me Once. It's on Netflix. By the way, True Detective is in Max.
Yeah.
So Netflix, Fool Me Once, another series that I'm watching. I like it. It's kind of like detective work. I don't know what to make of it just yet. I don't even know if I like it just yet, but I'm still watching it, hoping that there are parts that I'm liking about the series, but there are some that I'm like, I don't know. But I'm going to finish it just to see where it goes. That, I think, for this week. Yeah.
Okay. All right. A few things that I've seen. I finished Monarch Legacy of Monsters, which was season one on Apple TV Plus. I felt it started pretty good, but my interest in it really started I started to lose interest in it halfway through this. No. And you know what the reason why? Because halfway through the season, or after a few episodes of the season, you know, as people may know, this takes place in the Monsterverse, which is part of the Godzilla Kong, that whole franchise that's in the theater. You know, Godzilla X Kong is coming out in a couple of months, which I really don't have a big interest in, but it's that universe right now. Okay. Kong Skull Island.
Oh, yeah.
But what happened was, after I started watching this, I watched Godzilla Minus One, which was one of the best movies of all last year. And then I picked up where I left off with Monarch Legacy of Monsters, and it made this show so dull and so like melodrama. And I couldn't go back. I could not go back. And it just lost me. It really lost me. I did finish it because I was really wanting to see, well, since I started it, I kind of have to finish it. I was like three episodes into it. But then the payoff was not that satisfying. It was really cool with Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell in this. But really, this show is just a setup commercial for more of the MonsterVerse and didn't hit that franchise. So really, it's not worth it. It doesn't really amount to anything. So I was really disappointed in it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It really wasn't much monster action in it, really.
was it more of a...
the performances of the actors, it was fine. I mean, it's a family drama, it's a sci-fi like espionage thriller type thing. Mm-hmm. And the story was fine, and I thought it was kind of nice seeing a show where they had the human characters they weren't like dumb characters that I didn't care about. Mm-hmm. It's just that it just kind of didn't feel like anything special after a while. I don't know. Another thing that I watched this past week was the new Zack Snyder movie that came to Netflix called Rebel Moon Part One, A Child of Fire. This was not good.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you told me that, because I think that I had that on my list to watch next.
Listen, I'm not saying don't watch it. Mm. Some people love this. Some people hate it. And I'm finding that's kind of the line in the sand. Oh. I fell into the camp that this was just utter schlock. I did not like this movie. It's also a part one of a two-parter. And this was just all build up, set up. This was just get the team together to fight the bad guys. Mm. And it's really just setting up the next movie. That's all this whole film felt like to me. I'm not really going to get into the plot of this because I don't think this movie had a plot. It's not terrible, but it just didn't feel like it went anywhere.
Huh.
So yeah, Rebel Moon Part One, Child of Fire, just, I felt like kind of an utter waste of time. And Zack Snyder has not done anything I truly love for quite some time. But yeah. Another thing I finally got to see was the Iron Claw in the theater. Went with my dad, which I really, really liked this movie. I wanted it to have that emotional gut punch that I think a lot of people were saying that it had. It didn't. But I really did like this movie. I think I'm trying to put my finger on what it was. And I don't know why. I do feel like Zac Efron was unbelievable in this movie.
Yeah, he was.
So I'm not complaining about this movie at all. If I were, it probably still would have missed my top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it may still have missed my top 15 or top 20. It was still a solid, solid film.
It was.
But I don't really know. It was missing some element, and I don't know what it was. But it was still very, very good.
That's interesting.
It was funny. This is from Sean Durkin. Sean Durkin was he directed Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. If Sam just popped in again for a second, he might still be muted. But that is the first movie that I recommended on the podcast. Now, a whole year ago, pretty much, if you guys recall.
What was it?
Martha, Marcy, May,
Which
Marlene.
Film?
When we did,
I remember.
We did directorial debuts on our very first episode of Back to the Frame Rate, and Sean Durkin's first movie was Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene, and that was my recommendation shelf film. So,
yeah,
that's right.
I also watched, because it was Friday night. I was home with. Everyone was asleep, but my daughter, Chloe, was still awake. And I'm like, Chloe, we are watching a movie together, something. And it's not going to be some YouTube video or something like that. I finally convinced her after like my 30th movie suggestion to watch with me for the first time. She watched The Truman Show with me, which
she
loved it a lot. Yeah.
I kind of want to watch that movie actually again.
The
For some
movie,
reason, I just want to watch it.
Movie. You know what? I haven't seen the movie in 20 years, but damn, that movie really holds up. It is probably more prescient and more relevant now than it ever
That's
has been.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
really ahead of its time. It was like, yeah.
It's really great. And I used to think the movie was really, really good, but I think right now it is approaching like a masterpiece level right now.
Dude, I'm still gonna watch it.
It's really great, and she really liked it too. She was like at the edge of her seat, like, "Did that really just happen?" And like, I was so overjoyed to see that she was like really into this film, because I didn't know what I was gonna watch with her.
It's funny.
Yeah, Sam.
Oh, sorry. No, I was just gonna say I get chills in that movie when he realizes something is amiss and he stands in the middle of the street and stops the bus. Like, I just find that scene so well directed and epic when he's realizing
it. The music also during that moment gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, it gives me chills, and I love the whole way the movie is shot, like just the way it's photographed, just everything on that movie, Ed Harris's performance, everything fires on all thrusters. And a shout out to Paul Giamatti for being the best like second assistant controller guy ever.
Look at that, Nathan. You just built a memory with Chloe about a movie. After 30 picks, you picked the right movie for her.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. You know, it's funny. I totally forgot that Paul Giamatti was in that movie. Yeah.
Wait, Paul is in that movie?
Yeah.
No, Paul Giamatti.
To watch. Yeah. You know, I always
It was before he did like leading man stuff. It was like earlier. No, Paul Giamatti.
I did tell you something. I know you love Paul, right? You're the one that loves Sam. You're the one with Paul, right?
Yeah, I'm a big Paul Giamatti fan.
I keep telling Carlos, the only way that I will ever remember Paul is being a blue man. Oh,
Big Fat Liar.
Yes. That is the only way I remember him. I'm like, oh, that's the Blue Man.
He's you guys, I don't know if you've seen it, but he is hilarious in that biopic about Private Parts about Howard Stern, and Paul Giamatti is like the works for NBC, and he's like a jerk executive that absolutely hates Howard Stern and like just rants like a hilarious, great performance. Yeah.
At some point or another, they should, you know how they award people like the Golden Glove? Sometimes they award, they do an award for actors that have been in movies for a long, long time and done a lot of movies. I don't know, like honorable award or something.
Yeah, Paul's going to have to work for another like 20 years before they'll think about that. He's still got ways to go.
He's awesome, though.
He is, but, you know, he's still a little young to get that award.
Is he?
How old? Yeah. Well, he's what? Late 50s, maybe?
Yeah, I thought he was older. He looks older.
I have one more I want to mention. I'm glad you're here for this, Sam. So I actually, you know, I do listen to a decent amount of audiobooks. And one of the biggest genres of audiobooks and biggest genres of all books that sell are self-help books. And occasionally I do like listening to like inspirational books from famous people telling me how to live my life just out of curiosity. Yeah. And, you know, Spotify actually has, if you are subscribed to Spotify, there's a lot of free audiobooks there. And last week, I decided I was going to listen to one of them. Did you guys know that Arnold Schwarzenegger has a self-help book? And it's called...
Wait, is this the seven...
Be Useful, Seven Tools for Life by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I read that book. It's awesome. I read that cover to cover. I love that book.
But it's also an audiobook version, which is great. Because he self narrates it, and I have to admit I am listening to this mostly for the entertainment value of it, because it's great, and I actually took a snippet of it and I want to share it with everyone here, because it starts off like this.
I'm right now here in my little home studio recording and reading my book Being Useful to you. If you hear any kind of crackling of papers, or if you hear planes flying over, or if you hear my little pig, Schnelly, all of a sudden saying oink, 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 or my dogs coming in and jumping at me, or my little pony, Lulu, trying to bite me or something like that. So just so you know, if there's any side noises or something like that, you know, just bear with me, okay?
Yeah, that's how it starts, and like I am in.
Oh my god! Awesome. Oh my god! I'm gonna have to listen to it now. Thanks a lot, Nathan.
I love that he has like all his like pets and animals running around his house all the time.
I know.
Oink, oink.
I'm on the chapter. I'd say I'm about 1 hour and 45 minutes into this. It's good. Really good. Yeah. I mean, he's a fascinating figure, because here's a guy who's in the fourth act of his career, really. He conquered the bodybuilding world, the acting world, and the political world. And like, now what? And now he's like reflecting on all of this. It's a, you know, I'm sure there's a lot more that I'm going to learn about this. Sam, you said you read this cover to cover. What was your impression of this book?
Well, I loved it, because, you know, and that effect will be stronger with the audiobook, but it's not as if you're reading a book. It's as if Arnold Schwarzenegger is sitting down having a conversation with you, helping you out. He's like, look, you have to be motivated. He's like, if you want to write a novel, that's fantastic. But if you wrote one page a day, that's 365 days in a year. By the end of the year, you could have a novel. That's fantastic. We all have only 24 hours a day. We're all human, and I've got good news for you. I've got the same 24 hours that you do. That's fantastic. You can do what I do. Like, and so, but What's good about it was, like, he actually gives really good down-to-earth logic, like, logistical advice. It's not just, like, cheesy feel-good soundbite slates. Like, the book is actually called Be Useful, and he tells you useful stuff. So highly recommend, and highly That's entertaining. Cool. And it's funny too, like at times.
I he
has some really humorous
part.
That's great to hear. So this will be this will be like 7 hours well spent with Arnie.
That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna listen to it on my commute into work.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Nathan.
I
always like to listen to different shelf books like that too. So
yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
He was so funny. He literally has one line where he's like, I wanted to be mayor of California. He's like, he's like, I wanted to be the governor of California. He's like, I could have been mayor of Los Angeles, but who wants that bullshit job?
Yeah.
He's honest.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very honest.
But, here's a man. What an inspiration he is, though, for so many, because here's a man that was not born in the United States, came from a different country, and, it's just... Wow, like that goes to show that the harder you work, the more you're gonna, like, people don't see it, but you have to work hard to get to. It's not like you have a magic wand and you're just gonna get from one place to the other and be like amazing. No, you have to really work. Like, just like he worked for his body, he worked for his acting, and he worked to become that governor. Like, amazing.
Yeah.
His level of motivation is amazing. Like, when I read his book, it makes me feel like the laziest bastard in the world. Because this guy is so impressive. He's like, all you need is 6 hours of sleep a night. If you get 6 hours, you're good. If you sleep 8 hours, you're a loser.
I don't think he said that. I listened to that part, and he was talking about getting 8 hours of sleep a night. Okay.
Yeah, he did. Right. But he himself likes six. He's like mentioned it somewhere else. It was funny, yeah.
I actually can function on 6 hours of sleep, no problem. Sometimes I just do 6 hours and I'm like ready to go for the day. Sometimes like 4 a.m. in the morning, I'm ready to go. It's like crazy.
I can do six. It's if I do 4 hours of sleep, that is not enough. At four,
no.
I'll like wake up and I can function, but I'm like, all systems not normal.
If I do 4 hours of sleep, I feel like that must feel like what is when you're drunk, like you drink alcohol. I feel dizzy, like I'm on some type of alcohol hangover or something.
Yeah, it's like you feel like you're just not fully present. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know if anyone else has anything else. We've been recording for nearly an hour. I think we can post a wrapping this up.
I'll mention one quick comment that this was a movie that we were talking about. I actually finally did see Insidious, and I really enjoyed it. And I'm probably going to watch all the other chapters now.
Dude.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That's spooky. Something.
I did not see it in 2011. When it came out, and I enjoyed it. I hardly
just
enjoyed
it.
I'm glad I have more.
There's some great jump creepy. Scares in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really. I watched it really, really late at night, and my whole room was dark. And I was like, God, I'm actually like, I was like, I'll watch it, whatever. And it was like, I was actually kind of like, I was actually scary.
No, man. Just the name, just mentioning the name gives me the goosebumps.
Yeah. So I look forward to seeing, I'm glad that there's like four more films in that franchise. I like seeing whole franchises, and I'll get to like rank them all in my mind. So I've started the Insidious journey.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, I think I'll have a good time. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up for this bonus show. This is going to come out midweek, but next, in a couple of days, you're going to hear our 2024 movie forecast, where we'll have the full team together. So look for that. But yeah, that will do it for tonight. So thanks everyone for tuning in. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is where projects come to life.
Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Schedule your showroom consultation and see more from brands like Monogram at build.com/Ferguson.